This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a 15-year veteran and three-time champion, subscribe to my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week where we take you through the ins and outs of the association's top storylines, as well as breaking news and so much more. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
My dad's not here right now. He's still at work. So I'm going to bless him.
Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
I'm going to see if there's a clean version so that my parents and the people at my school will not get mad at me. We've got the spritzer filled with water just in case if stuff gets too fire. I'm going to set up the speaker and I'm going to listen to
Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
I think this is the best
Mike Shope
feature that I've heard in a long time. I think his flow is really good on it, and I like his aggressiveness on it. And
the Bulldog
put not enough effort in it. I think overall his flow was good, but I don't like that mumble rapping. That was my review of
Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Didn't need the spritzer. Wasn't fire enough. No spritzer for you. No spritzer.
Well, whoops.
Yeah, whoops.
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 Sorry.
Yeah. Brad Rantanen's not fitting it at all in Carolina. A goal and assist in the first 9 minutes of the game. Thanks. Good job. Should have seen that coming. The agent of our demise.
At least
for the one night, anyway. Would be.
It's easy to say that.
Yeah.
I don't know. Was my process bad for liking him last night? You know, playing better 5-on-5. Is Carolina good? Hartford? Is that the vibe you want if you're trying to win a Stanley Cup is to wear Hartford uniforms? But I don't know. I was the sucker.
Yeah. I do think they're good.
They're good.
I don't know if they're great, but they're definitely I definitely think they're good. I don't know if I said that.
I know, but like a playoff team against a good playoff team will win, you know.
Sure.
Will,
yeah.
Win plenty of times, yeah. And at least, you know, be in the game.
Look competitive, yeah. They got. And really, the game the Sabres won here against them back in January was kind of the same. Just the goaltending was different, I guess. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I mean, they drubbed the Sabres that day too, but the Sabres got out in front early and just managed to stay in front really all game. And last night it was the opposite. And yeah, just.
I really, well, you know, I mean, I really was up for that last night. And it was one of those where I got rewarded by getting home and turning the TV on as the first thing I did. And it was 2-0.
Yeah, tough.
That's 2-0 Whalers.
I was also a little late getting there. I was charged with preparing some dinner last night. So I got home and I was, you know, bumping around the kitchen and I had my iPad there and I intended to put it on. Like I looked at the time and it was 7:02 and I'm like, okay, I got a few minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And I kept prepping, doing whatever. And then the next time I looked, it was 7:12. I'm like, oh, idiot, you missed the start of the game. So then I turned it on, and eventually I got to the living room, and then I eventually got to social media. I'm like, oh, there was a fight right off the drop of the puck in this game. I missed that. Oh, let me go back and see what. Oh, I'm sorry I did that. I didn't need to do that. That wasn't good. Oh, poor Dylan Cousins. What happened to Dylan Cousins? I don't know if he ever had a superpower, but if he did, it's been missing. 2 years ago, I think he would have beaten that guy to halfway to Helsinki. I just, oh my gosh. decline next time. I just don't do that. No, bad, Dylan. Bad.
Very disappointing. Well, now it's like back to it's one game, but your thoughts turn to the deadline again, as opposed to if you were so inclined, the standings.
Well, 2-1 in this 5-game segment, Mike.
I know.
So the next two are against Montreal. I mean, they get back on track.
No, that's right. So, one game doesn't ever really change it that much.
Right. Unless it's the very end and you're mathematically eliminated.
But I just wanted a closer game, you know? I wanted to think that the Sabres have grown enough that but you know, anybody can have a bad night, I guess. Just all that kind of stuff seems like an eye roll, right? With them.
Yeah.
But
yeah, it's why, you know, yesterday specifically, I'm like, I'm really struggling with the whole thing, you know, trying to get invested in this. I'm almost always going to watch, but like believing in it in any way really has been challenging for me. It's why I've appreciated where you've been really all week when we've talked about them, because I think it helps us to have that in the room. But boy, yeah, last night was a tough look in the mirror, because they were absolutely outclassed. I think is the bigger scary thing about it. Like for all the 5-on-5 play and like they're this and they're that and there's positive signs. I mean, they got smoked. Really, is what happened last night.
Well, a team in their position with a couple of at least semi-interesting veteran UFAs to be, would always, it's like a knee-jerk to seller mode. And I think, you know, not that either guy, Zucker and Greenway I'm talking about, would command a huge return, but like those guys get traded in this situation, at least one of them for sure.
Yeah, I think Yoki Haru's on that list too.
Okay.
Fine. Yeah, and also same. Like I don't think he would get, you know, any kind of great return, but he's someone you could move for pieces if you want to do that.
And shouldn't they? The playoff drought is what gets in my way when it comes to this stuff. Because, like, it's just been so long, and to churn that again, it's just sort of more of the same. It's familiar. It's kind of a bad taste. But I think that's what you do.
I think you probably, sure, you could make a case to do it with all three guys. And, you know, I don't know, not stop there. Maybe there's hockey trades to be made. J.J. Paterka, welcome to the trade, big boy.
I know. What's that?
Because that's not trading for futures. He's a future. He's
both.
He's kind of like, you know, remember when Darcy used to say, and like lots of GMs have said it, like I don't want you know, picks or prospects. I want young NHL players. That's what he is. And I think whether he's still ascending or not, I don't know. I overshot the runway by quite a bit on him. I thought he'd be their best guy by now, and he's not. But he's, I think he's still very good and still pretty young. So that's not a guy I'm eager to move without knowing what the return is, but the return would have to be something comparable, because I'm not interested in even a first-round pick for J.J. Paterka, because he's 23.
I wouldn't be.
And can score. Like, he's a useful player to me. The other guys, you know, the UFAs, I like Greenway and Zucker. I think they're useful. The way I've described Greenway a few times with Paul, I don't know if I've ever said this with you in the room. It feels like whenever he comes up, it has been days where I'm talking to Paul by myself. But he's not like a needle mover player, I think. But what he is to me is, and this dawned on me last year when for whatever, however many minutes of our lives last season, we thought that they were live. Watching games, he does a bunch of little stuff that I think helps of a good team. But he's not going to make you good. Like, his presence is not going to make you good. But he will do stuff that will help you.
Who is this now?
Greenway.
Okay.
So, like, I have room for him. If you want to tell me they're going to sign him to an extension, I'm not so desperate for whatever the return is going to be that I got to make a move with him. And I would say the same about Zucker. But what I want to know is, how do I have to overpay because I'm Buffalo, right? Because palm trees, because, you know, I can't trade for guys. Nobody wants to come here, all that. Like, how much of a tax is there on that? If there is one, I don't know. These guys could love it here for all I know and want to be here. Maybe if they have families, their families like it. I don't know. I'm reluctant to just sign off blindly on, yeah, keep them, don't move them, because I don't really have a need for another third-round pick right now, you know, recognizing that could maybe turn into something down the road. But I want to know what the price is going to be.
Well, you know this, of course, but you're accomplishing a couple of things by trading those players. It's not just what you get back, but you're, if you will, dodging the commitment. Like the dollars and the years and the roster spot. Like one it wasn't that long ago with them, and maybe now it seems like almost laughable, but like, where are we going to put all these guys? You know, the Kulik group, and you know, you had Benson and you had Savoy there for a minute. Like, if they're all skilled forwards, I can't just have 12. I know, right? It'd be so terrible, but I can't have 12 skilled young forwards, mm-hmm. right? I mean, I'm not building the Four Nations. An NHL version of the Four Nations team. I have to have balance. I have to have age. I have to have different things. So they can't all just play. And so I think Zucker is easy. I mean, he is having a good season. He would be, I think, wanted. And he's at $5 million at 33 years old. I don't know. Like I don't want to do that for the future, right? Like mm-hmm. he's. Most of their power play goals, I know, and he's mattered to this team, but going into mid-30s at whatever that's going to cost, I want the space.
Yeah.
I want the flexibility that would give me.
I like that point because I think it, in that case, even though Zucker has been obviously a more impactful player, he's also been healthier. And right now I'm not a good team. So every little thing that I'm describing here or referring to that Greenway does for you doesn't matter as much because you're in last place. But the guys they've got, what they don't have is a Greenway. Like he's unique within their forward group and almost within their entire organization. So you should be able to find your way to someone to take Zucker's spot. That's not to downplay what he has had a very good year. To me, a better year than I ever envisioned when they signed him. I mean, he's not an all-star level player or anything, but he's been really nice. But if you're thinking about making room, I should have more of a plug and play ready for him than I do for a guy like Greenway. So if they were to end up trading one of the two, I guess I would be in favor of Zucker being the one that moves and Greenway stays.
Wasn't Travis Yost's point yesterday on Greenway like fine? Sorry that word, but how much better is your team for having him? Like sort of the ultimate value of the player. And you know, I accept what you were saying and. Also think, though, that Travis might have a good point, because he usually does, right? Like, just what am I getting for whatever that's going to cost? Is that 4 years at $4-5 each, you know?
Probably that ballpark. That's about where he is now, and I doubt he gets he gets his salary cut.
I guess I wouldn't hate it. You know, I wouldn't hate it. It makes sense. But I'm just sort of struggling with, and this has happened so many times with the Sabres, is like, okay, I'm going to do this again. I'm going to sell off.
Right.
I mean, what those two guys, maybe three, have sort of meant on this team this year. I'm going to just do that. But I think it's right to ignore. Well, maybe it isn't. I feel like the right answer lies in not going back in time and basically making your job harder because you realize how long it's been since they've been good. But I think really these are decisions made for the present and the future, not the past. So I know yesterday I was like betting the Sabres and looking for playoffs. And here I am on like the deadline one day later.
Sell it all.
Yeah, sell it all. Everything must go.
Yeah.
What about like Tuck? Travis mentioned him. Is he untouchable?
I don't think anyone really can be, and I guess I have to include Paterka in that too, and Greenway. What, like, and I'm not saying Greenway's untouchable. I'm just making a case for like why I would want to hang on to him if I could, you know, unless I'm blown away by some sort of return that I'm getting. No, I don't think any. I don't think anyone on that roster should be untouchable.
Yeah,
Dahlin is the one you could maybe make the best case for to me. But even him, like if you came to me with the, like, I don't know what the trade that trade is. I've never wasted a second of my life trying to think one up. But if you came to me and laid out, okay, I guess I'm going to have to sit with that and talk it through. But I wouldn't be eager to do that. I think it's a very hard trade to win. Everybody else to me. Yeah, tell me what we're talking about here. As long as it's – if it's younger guys, if it's Tuck under contract, still like relatively prime of his career, okay, what is the return? What am I getting? Because I'm going to create a hole there. And sure, I've got my pipeline here. But again, Tuck is more – he's not a big physical player. But he is big. He has size, and he can use it. He's not like a power forward type, mean, nasty business type dude. But
he's solid,
yes, built solidly, strong, and I don't have a lot of that. You know, they for a while there were drafting guys like Savoy and Kulik who are, you know, barely 6 feet and not, you know, 190 pounds or even less than that in some cases.
Benson.
So you know, Tuck does serve a purpose. But yeah, even him, like I'm listening to everything. Even Paterka, my boy, Paterka, I love him, but this is so stale or has been for so long that I don't think anything should be like, oh no, we're not doing that.
No, I think that's right.
So
I think that's right.
I would consider anything, and that includes Tuck, even though he's from, you know, the Syracuse area.
Yes. I think I'd just hang up the phone on Dahlin, but maybe no one else. I guess that's probably bad practice. Just listen. But I think, you know, defense, if you're going to make a move with one of these guys, they still really could use one more or two or three good defensemen. I mean, for me, Byram isn't it. And if Yoki Haru is traded, Clifton, really, like it's – I don't know how much it really has changed, but at the present time, it seems pretty thin. So I'd want to do that. I wonder what the plan for Levi is. I mean, he's been excellent,
yeah,
apparently, in Rochester. And they have Lukanen now signed for 5 or so more years.
Right, this was year one of the new contract.
It goes through 29.
Yeah.
So, right.
Yeah, good question. I don't know. And Lukanen's had a tough year. I think mostly like he hasn't really had a pocket like he had last year. Really, I think he earned that contract last year from January 1 to the finish line. Like he was really, really good. Like one of the best guys, five on five, expected goals against, all that stuff. He was in the top. Like if they'd been a better team, he might have gotten some dark horse Vezina consideration last year. I think his play warranted that kind of attention, but the team wasn't good enough, and, you know, whatever. But he was that good. And this year, just, it has not happened at all. So, yeah, I
goalies.
And they're coming to a spot with Byram here, too. You just mentioned him. Like, he's RFA again. Not again. I mean, he came here with that status. He was going to walk into RFA. And there have been times, yeah, I even said, I think after the game on Tuesday, I mentioned how he and Dahlin, like, I just thought they were controlling the game together. And you said, he's lucky to be out there with him. And we were up against a break, and I didn't push back on it. And I wanted to. And then last night, I watched the game. I'm like, I'm kind of glad I never got to push back on Byram, because he was a disaster last night. It's like he was at the scene of every crime. And not every one of them ended up being a goal, but he was just, he's had a very rough night, I thought, last night. And I don't know what is he? Like, if he works with Dahlin, do I want to invest in that? Because not just anyone can do what they were doing on Tuesday together. You know, when you said that, I thought, lucky. Like, Matias Samuelsson was lucky to play with Dahlin when he got here, and he got a contract from it. And he hasn't been able to play with Dahlin since. They figured out, like, oh, that was a mistake, I think. Anyway, the way we were talking when he first got here was like, duh, there's your number one pair for 10 years.
That was an interesting bet. You know, the Sabres at that time were making big bets on really young players. You know, and a couple of them were blue chip. And, you know, you had Thompson who emerged, and then that made sense. Samuelsson was the one that was really like, it just looked like more of a gamble. And it doesn't look great.
No, doesn't.
That's five more years at least at 4.2.
Byram to me, like that definitely to me, if he had really nice value on the market, I mean, he was traded straight up for Middlestat last year. I might make that same kind of trade again if I could.
For Middlestat. Yeah,
both guys are in the mills.
It's a hockey trade, but you realize why certain guys do get moved, even when they're young and talented, you know, like this guy or what Middlestat was, you know, like it was a kind of a smart idea, worth doing, but there are reasons why teams are willing to part with certain guys. Like just the ceiling is not that high. And I think that's that trade. So okay, not just anybody can play with Dahlin. I'll take my chances on somebody because of the elite player that he is. Well, Kevin Adams has a week. We'll have him on later. Ask him some of this stuff. Next game tomorrow night against the Canadiens. We have guests today. Theo Greminger coming up in about 10 minutes talking about the combine. Sam Panayotovic back from Ireland.
You been in touch with Sam today at all?
I have.
Okay, me too.
Yeah.
I saw a video. Did he send you a video?
I don't think so.
I saw a video of some people playing in a pub in Ireland.
See?
Not him, but...
You're his audience for that.
Right.
Live music.
Right.
That goes to Bulldog. Matthew Stafford staying with the Rams and what that means for Puka Nacua. That's the text I get.
Okay, right.
With the arrows pointing up for Puka. One of his ideas for, was it NFL Offensive Player of the Year? Something like that for next year. I think that's the award he was thinking of Puka for. And Sal will join us as well. That'll be at 4:30 today. The franchise tags are out. And running back is 13.6. So, it's kind of funny, like it's under, talk to Sal about it, it's under Cook's, you know, supposed demand.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think the Bills would want to do that, but...
Well, they don't have to do it now anyway. No. He's under contract another year.
That's right. It'd be next year.
Rousseau
would be the one.
By next year. Well, no, Rousseau is under contract too, fifth year option. He's on a guaranteed salary for this year. The motivation with him is if he's here, you probably want to commit long term and lower that cap number because that's available to you if you want to extend him.
That's right. The list is of guys who are under contract for 1 year, but then what? And that's what they accomplished with Shakir.
Right.
That's Benford.
Benford, right.
Bernard.
Yes.
Two.
That's the group.
That's a pretty good list.
Yeah.
All right, let's take a break, and we'll bring on Theo, talk some Combine. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog here. Thanks for listening, or watching, or both. Hopefully, if you're watching, you're listening too. That'd be great. Back with Theo after this timeout here on WGR.